It's now time for Sports Saturday.
Are you serious, really?
On 101.3, The Game.
I know football.
Sports Saturday is powered in part by Green City Garage, an environmentally responsible garage in South Burlington, working on all makes and models and specializing in your family's car, truck, or SUV. Vermont Engine Service, an engine and machine shop, 16 Krupp Drive in Williston. Vermont Mortgage Company, mortgage expertise dedicated to Vermonters. See how easy obtaining a mortgage can be. And Romanto's Pizza, delivering to a 10-mile radius of their Taft Corners, Williston location. This is Sports Saturday.
Yet another missed tackle.
Living the dream and taking you with us. 101.3, The Game.
Oh, he's not lying. We are living the dream and taking you with us. And I personally am living the dream and going to take you with us because I'm my good buddy, Austin Danforth, is out again. But we have in studio, and I've been begging this guy to come out with me for a long time, the other superhero in the sports room of the Burlington Free Press, our good friend, Alex Abrami. Good morning, my man.
Good morning, Jeff. How many times have I said no to you?
Okay, so I've been doing the show for like 4.5 years, and you've probably told me like 300 times no.
I always feel bad, too.
No, like, you don't feel bad.
I do. I'm writing out the text. I'm like, oh, I got to tell him another excuse.
Oh, my God. Yeah, what do
but
I?
But they're all real excuses.
What can I say? What can I say this time that it's not going to sound like the same thing? Except one time, I think he said his son had a baseball game, and it was 40 below zero. Yeah, we had a big game outside today. It's going to be 40 below. I can't do the show. It's
like, I rolled my ankle the night before. I can't come in.
It's good to see you. Yeah. Thanks so much for being here today. And Aaron Wells, my man, welcome back. Illness. We are worried about you, buddy.
Yeah, I got the old double whammy. Went straight from the flu to pneumonia, breaks.
My goodness. You're looking good considering, though.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I think I lost weight.
Well, there you go. There's always a perk to something. You know what I mean? But you look great. I'm glad you're back. Hey, listen, we got to give our boy Arnie a shout out here, right? I mean, I get up this morning. I get in the car. And whose voice do I hear on 101.3? Our boy Arnie is hosting The Fellas, which is the nationally syndicated show that's right before this show. I mean, listen, Arnie's a big deal. I don't know if we talk enough about what Arnie is in the world of sports radio. He's got his own national show that he's had for years on Fox. He's done so many things around the country. And this morning, a Saturday morning syndicated show that starts, I don't know what time The Fellas start, Aaron. Do you know what time that show starts? Is it 8, 9 o'clock? Probably 8 o'clock in the morning, 7 o'clock in the morning.
I think it's 2 hours.
I mean, Arnie's hosting a national syndicated show. I mean, that's a pretty big deal, right?
It's a very big deal.
I mean, think it's cool.
He's got the voice. He's got the opinion.
He does.
He knows what he's doing. I listen, like, sometimes when I'm driving home on a Friday or Saturday, I'm listening to that show. And
yeah.
And when he's bringing on, you know, he lets callers call in or whatever, and he argues with them. It's fun radio.
Oh, yeah. His national show was unbelievable. I mean, the Huddle show is a great show as well. Obviously, anyone that listens to it weekly, which Monday through Friday, you can hear it here on 101.3 The Game. But, I mean, if you get a chance to listen to his late night show on the weekends, I mean, it is great stuff. And he's got great insight. He's got great guests. But to wake up this morning and hear Arnie, I mean, I think for a small town like this in a very small community, to have a guy like Arnie doing this is kind of I think it's pretty special. I think it's pretty neat.
Yeah, we got really lucky. He decided to take a step back. He used to be a much bigger fish even than he is now. And he wanted to come to quiet little Vermont, and we got him.
Well, 655-6672 is the number to call if you want to join us today, 802-655-6672. Or you can text us on the Town Fair Tire text line at the same number, 802-655-6672. We've got a big show ahead of us. We'll get into that in a second. I got to ask you this, though. You and Austin, I've always thought, I'm in awe of you because of the knowledge you have with all the sports you cover top to bottom. And you do have to cover everybody. I mean, this isn't like you just cover Chittenden County. I mean, you're covering sports from here all the way down to Brattleboro, maybe all the way up to Newport. I mean, you're all over the place. But like, I have always wondered, like, who's the Batman and who's the Robin in that sports room? I mean, are you Batman and is Austin Robin? Is it like, how's it work? I mean, are you guys just hand in hand? I mean, you're a great team.
I think we're hand in hand. So is there another superhero combo we can?
Let me try that. Well, when you think of superhero combos, I mean, Aaron, who do you think of? Batman and Robin. I'm just wondering,
I think we switch, depending on the season, one of us is Batman and the other one's Robin. Move on.
That's way too politically correct for this show. Come on, stand up for yourself and say I'm Batman and Austin.
I can't. So we can go after like a twins duo. Exactly. from like one of the.
Well, we inside joke that we call it because we're both A's, so we just call us
right.
We're the A team.
The A, perfect,
and that's how we roll for the most part. But we pretty much play off each other,
And you do an unbelievable job. Let me just say, I mean, I look forward to, especially during the fall and all the different seasons, I watch your Facebook lives and you talk about big games or things that have happened or games coming up. And again, what people probably don't understand is that, you know, Vermont is a very small state, but you guys are traveling all over the state to cover for the Free Press and what you're trying to, and what you're trying to get out to the public. And the coverage is spectacular. I always used to kid with Austin when Bernie was our co-host here, and Austin would come on and we'd be talking about, you know, say football teams in Vermont, and he'd be bringing up names. He could tell me the backup quarterback at Mount Anthony. I mean, I used to try to stuff him all the time. I'd be like, I'm going to ask him like who the backup running back at Brattleboro is. And he'd be like, oh yeah, that's, you know, and he knows. I mean, it's just amazing what you guys have the ability to do.
Yeah. Information's our currency.
So it's awesome. It's very, very good stuff. I always want to ask guys like you this as well. So we just went through a very crazy in the Chittenden Burlington area and in the state of Vermont, a 2018 and 2019 school schedule. So high school and college. When you think about this past season, you know, from things that you covered, what was the most intriguing story for you this season, do you think?
Intriguing story. You asked me this before, and I was trying to think about it.
Yeah, I wanted to prep you, Alex. Yeah, I wanted to be ready to go.
I don't know if, well, it's a story that, it wasn't like, it's not a happy story. It has a happy ending, but like sure. Dearney Duncan,
yeah.
When, right before they played Florida State, he talked to me about battling depression last summer and how he left the team for a spell. And he wasn't sure, the team wasn't sure, John Becker wasn't sure if he was going to come back at all.
Wow.
For his senior year. And I didn't know about this until, I knew a little bit about it, but not to the extent where he was battling depression and anxiety and stuff like that, until I talked to him the day he left for Hartford. Mm-hmm. So this is like 2 days after they beat UMBC to win the America East and stuff like that. So we sat down in Patrick's gym and talked for like a half hour, and he told me the whole thing. And then I wrote it when we were in Hartford, and then we landed it, you know, we posted it, I think, the day before they played Florida State. And I think the reaction from that kind of blew me away. Just the outpouring of support for Ernie. And, you know, I think if Ernie coming out that way to say, like, you know, depression can happen to anyone.
Sure.
And for him to do it on a big stage like that, where everyone is paying attention to UVM and Ernie Duncan, I think that was important.
And I think it's interesting, you know, you bring the story up from, you know, when you look at a kid like Ernie Duncan, that is, you know, the toast of the town, you know, when you think of UVM basketball, obviously Anthony Lamb's the guy you think, but Ernie Duncan's the other guy you think about. When you look at some of the great players that have played and you look at a kid like Ernie and you think, wow, you got everything. How could you be depressed? But it really is a problem. And, you know, for youth, I think back to Kyle Guy, the superstar at UVA that just led them to a national championship. I mean, there's a huge story last year about his battle with depression that he left the team for a little while during the offseason, a lot like Ernie. So it definitely is out there. And it's pretty brave of Ernie to be able to come out and to bring it to public light and to share it with you, you know, Alex, and to get out there. Hey, you know, he's more of a role model now for kids or for anyone that's battling depression right now.
Yeah, that was one of his big reasons for wanting to be publicly out there about that, to let other people know that it is okay to not be okay. And if he could reach at least one person because of that story, I think, you know, it was worth it.
And it definitely is. I mean, if you're battling anything, the ability to be able to speak about and to talk about and look for help is very, very important. And you need people like Ernie Duncan to step up, and people that kids will look up to, people that adults look up to. I mean, Ernie Duncan's a superstar in this town. And so he's a player you can't wait to go watch play. And if Ernie Duncan has enough confidence to come out and say, look, I've been battling this situation, it's nothing to be ashamed about or be embarrassed about. And I think it says a lot that he wanted to share that story with you, Alex. And again, that's why the Free Press has become such a special paper, especially in the sports area. I look forward to reading these articles because with you and Austin, I mean, you've gotten some pretty heartfelt stories over the years here with some of the local athletes that we have in Burlington.
We have, yeah. I think we hang our hats on stories like that because we develop enough good relationships with the players or coaches that they, you know, can talk to us about stuff like that.
We talked a little bit about, obviously, Ernie Duncan's basketball team. It's going to be a little bit different looking basketball team, a basketball team that you're close to, and obviously a basketball team that we're all excited to root for. What can you, I mean, I know we're way off here. We're sitting here in June, but I mean, there's a lot of excitement. You know, obviously Lamb tested the waters a little bit with the draft. Did you talk to him a little bit about what that was like for him?
No, I haven't. I wanted to, but then spring playoffs got in the way,
right,
the marathon. Understood. And then I think he may be, I don't know if he's here year round, but I'm sure he goes home for a little bit to Rochester. So I think they were in that in between where school's done and they don't have to be here yet for summer workouts.
Yep.
I think Becker's camp might even, the first week of his 2 week camp might be next week.
Okay.
I think. So they might be back in town now or getting back into town now. So hopefully I can reach out to him or see him to get a sense of what it was like, that whole process of testing the NBA draft waters and where he kind of ranks among the players who are eligible for the draft.
And how neat is it that this program has an athlete that's talented enough to say, I'm declaring for the draft here, to at least take care of, just go through the process for the potential of him being in the NBA in the future. I mean, we talk off very, very highly about this basketball program, Alex, on a daily basis on this sports show. But I mean, to have an athlete like Anthony Lamb and to have the athletes that keep coming into this program, I mean, you've been here for a long time. You've seen this program at its lowest, and you've seen this program build to where it is today. I mean, it really is a pretty crazy story with where this Vermont program has gone.
Yeah, it just shines another light on the program and how far they've come since Copperath and Brennan and Sorrentine.
Yeah.
So it's pretty remarkable what they've done the last 15 plus years.
I've always thought that we were a facility away from potentially being a type of, and people get mad at me and they see him on the streets and they say, you're such a homer and stop talking like this, you're a moron. But a team like Gonzaga that started a lot, I mean, they were a very low mid-major and now they're a powerhouse. But, you know, my thought process is, and I know the America East is a tough conference for great elite players to want to come play in, because obviously it's a lower level mid-major conference. But with the history that Vermont has and the players that they're starting to develop and a guy like Lamb that potentially could be in the NBA in a year, and with the new facility coming in here, is it crazy to think that this is a team that historically could be now maybe a team that ends up leaving the America East eventually for a bigger conference, or a team that could perennially be a team that's a one or two win team in the NCAA tournament coming down the stretch?
Yeah, that's the goal. At least the reaching the Sweet 16, that type of stuff. I think that's
so you think the potential is there. And I think the new facility.
Becker has said that. Right. Becker has said that he thinks this team, or they want to shoot for not just, he said this since the undefeated season 2 years ago, America East undefeated season, where like we don't want to just match the 05 team. We want to go a step further. So that would mean winning two games in the NCAA tournament.
Would the facility, the America East is probably the biggest deterrent to Vermont right now to me. The conference is the biggest deterrent. Does the facility and their history and what they've been and what Becker's done, and Becker's arguably one of the best recruiters in the country. I mean, you heard that kid that got recruited by two teams, and one of them was Vermont. He mentioned that in his interview. I probably couldn't even pronounce his name, which is probably bad of me. But anyway, so Vermont, we obviously understand that Vermont's got what it takes. Will this bring a different type of player potentially here with the new facility? Do you think the facility is a big deal enough to bring even more talent into Vermont?
Yeah, if they keep winning, as I think they will, because they have that base, they keep getting.
Their culture is amazing. Yeah, right.
They're going to be at the top of America East for years to come as it stands right now. So, but once the arena is built and it's here and recruits can come and watch and see it, then I think you might get a different player. I think it might, maybe now when you're saying like, well, the arena will be here in 2 years or 3 years.
Right.
It might be hard to, convince a recruit from Kentucky or Florida to come here. But once it is here and they can see it, and they can kind of imagine being in here, or they can actually be here for a game when, recruit comes here on a weekend in, March or February, right, and they see.
Don't bring him in. But don't bring him when the weather's bad. Okay. And there better be a really big game in February, because you're never going to get him.
What is the weather great in November or December?
No, come like in June or July. You bring them downtown, it's beautiful. This is the best place to live when the weather's nice, but you bring him here in February or January, Alex, I don't care how nice the facility is. I'm out of here. I mean, it's like 30 below zero. It's just disgusting up here. But anyway, real quick, though, because I have to get to our poll question today, but I want to ask, there's been a lot of rumors over the last couple of years about Becker potentially leaving. And I can't imagine there aren't bigger conference teams, bigger Power Five, bigger conference schools that would want him. But with everything that's going on in Vermont and his history, do you see Becker staying here for a long time?
I can see him staying here, but if the right offer comes along, I think he'll take it. Why wouldn't he take it? If it's a big time job with a lot more money, everyone's striving to be better in all walks of life. So like, why deny him that?
Never deny him that. Yeah. We'll get into this after. I do have some points, but we'll talk about that. But I have to get to the Green City Garage poll question today. You're probably waiting for that on bated breath over here, I'm sure, Alex. But Green City Garage, located at 49B Commerce Ave, Unit 5 in South Burlington, Vermont, 05403. Phone number 802-651-9299. That's 802-651-9299. My buddy Chris Wallace over the Green City Garage. Not only is it the best garage to go to get your car fixed, you have any kind of problems, no question is too bad. Like me, usually I ask in such dumb questions like, how do I change my you know, how do I, where do I put the oil? You know, things like, where do I put the windshield wiper fluid? How do I turn my heat on? Those kind of questions Wallace can answer. Not only that, he does everything. Go check them out at Green City Garage. They are the best, and they are an environmentally friendly garage, which is very important as well. So give them a call, Green City Garage, 802-651-9299. The poll question today, where you can go to 1013 The Game right now on Twitter. Do you like the potential idea to have the Tampa Bay Rays split their time playing their home games between Tampa, St. Pete, and Montreal? Yes or no? I ask you. What do you like? I'm asking
you. You're asking me.
Oh, yeah. Do you like it? Do you like the idea? Right.
No, I don't like it at all. Okay. Just go to Montreal.
Yes.
Just move the team to Montreal.
Like, bring back Expos.
Are there Tampa Bay fans out there? Like, really?
Well, here's the thing about, have you been to a game down there?
No.
Okay, so I've been to many games down there. And the facility is terrible. So I'm with you. So here's my answer for this. On a selfish level, I'm all in for this because anytime an American League East team, I can go see my Yankees like an hour and a half up the road. I'm all in for that. I used to love when the Yankees went and played the Expos. It was great. I'm all in. But in terms for baseball in general and for the players that play for the Tampa Bay Rays, I mean, that's got to be a terrible situation for them. It's either stay in Tampa or go to Montreal. Selfishly, I say, yes, I'm all in. But like the adult me would say, and the baseball fan me says, no, it's not good for baseball.
It's the same thing as in the NFL when you have two quarterbacks, you have none.
That's a good point.
Right? Very true. So like you're going to split between two cities. Like if doing this leads to the team eventually moving to Montreal, then let's do it. But I think bringing back baseball to Montreal is the better option.
I think Montreal wants that. But I will say this, if Tampa Bay would build a facility in downtown Tampa Bay, they would pack that joint every single night. It's one of the up-and-coming cities in the country. It's beautiful down by the bay. You've got great communities that surround it. Right now, Tropicana Field is in the worst part of the Tampa Bay area, the worst, and it's the worst facility. So to me, it's about Tampa's either got to pony up and build them a facility or they just have to leave. But splitting it up, I agree with you, it would be rough. But listen, if the Yankees are up there, if the Red Sox are up there 10, 15 times a year, you can get up there for... That would be awesome.
I think this is what I've heard is that this is Tampa Bay. That this is the Rays showing Tampa that we've got options.
Sure.
If we go to Montreal, have our season, and they're more accepting and seem like a better option for us, we'll just leave.
Yeah, you might be right. Well, go to Twitter right now. Tell us what you think. Yes or no, whether the Rays should be splitting the time between Montreal and Tampa. Hey, when we come back, we're going to talk some New York Knicks basketball. I mean, I don't care where you stand on the platform, whether you're a Knicks fan or not, but this is some crazy story the Knicks are going through. I've got some good friends that are Knicks fans. Coach Becker's a big Knicks fan. I know that, say, a month and a half ago, they were pretty excited about the future. I wonder if they still are. Don't go anywhere.
Getting you ready for game day. It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game.
Keep those texts coming in on the Town Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672. We got a couple texts that we'll get to after, so we appreciate those, and thanks for texting. This is Sports Saturday. I'm your host, Jeff Paul. My buddy, Alex Abrami, who had no more excuses over the last 4 years to join me on this show, finally is in here with me as our boy, Austin Danforth, is away again. He's like, where's Waldo, Austin, isn't he? It's like, he's always somewhere. He's like, is it Visa that's everywhere you want to be? It was a Visa card, isn't that? That's Austin, right? You know, he's everywhere you want to be. That's Austin Danforth. But he is out this week. So we are very happy to have our man from the Burlington Free Press, Alex Abrami, in with us today. And Alex, I got to say, the NBA to me is an interesting story in itself. But the New York Knicks are even more interesting to me, especially the fact, number one, they're one of the franchises that you want to be successful. I mean, when the Knicks are good, it's better for the NBA, in my opinion. They play in the greatest facility. Madison Square Garden is the mecca for basketball. They've got a great track record, great players, but they have been down for so long. And I have so many Knicks fans that told me the last couple months that this was going to be the year. The tide is changing. They have all this money to spend. And man, it has been a rough couple months going into this draft for the New York Knicks.
Yeah, I mean, Kevin Durant, you know, ruptures Achilles.
You don't get the number one pick. Finals.
You don't get the number one. Yeah, you don't get the number one pick. Everyone thinks, oh, it's going to be Zion.
Yeah, exactly.
They're going to get Zion.
Exactly.
They still could get Kevin Durant. They just have to wait.
You have to wait a little bit.
Now more waiting.
Exactly, which is just tough for the Knicks fan. So who better to talk to about this than Knicks insider for the New York Post, our friend Mark Berman, who joins us now here on Sports Saturday on the TikTok Doodles guest line. Good morning, Mark. Thanks so much for taking the time this morning.
Oh, thanks so much for having me on.
So when I reached out to you this week, I'm just intrigued by this Knicks story. And I know that their fan base was really excited about this season. And I think the draft of RJ Barrett's a great draft for them. But talk about the mindset right now for this organization. All this money to spend. They didn't get the guy they necessarily wanted to in the draft, but they got a good player. And now it looks like Durant will definitely be out 1 year. So there's a decision to be made whether they throw that kind of money at him. Where do the Knicks go now for some success?
Yeah, it's been a real rough 19 or 18 years ever since 2001. It just seems they just can't get a break. And there was so much excitement when they made the Porzingis trade at the deadline that they opened up two max salaries. And at the time, the Knicks were very comfortable in thinking that Durant and Kyrie Irving would team together and come to New York. And it looks really shaky right now. The Durant injury has everyone confused. Golden State doesn't know what's going on. The Knicks are also kind of in the dark. Listen, they're going to go after Durant, but they are cautious. They would like to see some medical records. He'd be 32 years old when he's ready to finally put on a Knick uniform, and that first season back from an Achilles tear is called like the load management season. That's like the new phrase where your restrictions on the number of games and even minutes. Kawhi Leonard went through that this past season. So, and then reports that Kyrie Irving, who grew up in West Orange, New Jersey, watching the New Jersey Nets and Jason Kidd, he's leaning toward Brooklyn. So if they don't get either of them, they're going to make a pitch for Kawhi, but I can't imagine Kawhi coming. It looks like free agency is going to be a bust, and this is what we've been writing about for more than just this season. We started writing about it the prior season, that 2019 free agency was going to be when they made their splash. So it's a little unsettling.
What's happened with the Knicks, though, to think about that a player like Irving wouldn't want to go play for the New York Knicks? I mean, they're still the New York Knicks. And if you can turn this organization around, you would think that this would be the ideal place for a superstar. What's happened over the... Is it Dolan? Is Dolan the problem?
I mean, perhaps. That's one of the factors, that if Dolan is the owner, maybe this franchise is never going to take the next step. My gut tells me after the Boston debacle, it was very hurtful for Irving. He took a lot of heat. And maybe he doesn't want to take another gamble with New York. Listen, coming to the Knicks, they were 17-65. There's a lot of young players. Now Durant's hurt. There's a lot of pressure. If you don't succeed in New York, it's not the best place to play. I mean, he wants to live in New York. He knows the area so well, and it's great to be here. But if you're on a losing Knicks team, it's not so rosy. And I think he sees in Brooklyn a better roster, less pressure. If it doesn't work out, well, it's not the end of the world. If it doesn't work out with the Knicks, your legacy is tarnished. Phil Jackson won 11 coaching championships, comes to New York as a president, he fails, and now he's sort of a laughingstock in some circles. It's just bizarre. So I think Kyrie is looking for a more safer haven where he could still live in New York and not have the major spotlight on him.
So R.J. Barrett was the expected pick at number three for the Knicks. Is some optimism here? I mean, how good can R.J. Barrett be? Or is there some downside here where like he may not be the superstar that people might think he is?
Well, yeah, that's the thing. When you pick number three in the draft, you're looking for a bona fide all-star. I mean, anything short of that is slightly disappointing. And I think there was some people in the Knicks organization that were a little concerned about how his college game would translate to the NBA. He's not super athletic, and most of his points come off, driving to the basket. So the NBA is just filled with elite athletes. So you wonder, is that going to work? His outside shot needs a lot of improvement. 30% from three-point range won't cut it. And the NBA has become a three-point shooting league. In the NBA Finals, the team that shot better from the three-point line won every game. So, yeah, there's a little concern there, but he comes from a great family, great genes. He really wants to be here, and those are all nice, but you got to do it on the court. A lot of Duke guys sometimes don't even, live up to their college exploits. And it is a little troubling to me that Barrett, Zion, Cam Reddish, and their point guard, I think Tyus Jones, who is going to be a first-round pick next year, couldn't get out of the Elite Eight. I mean, it's like they should have done better. No one really talks about them much anymore, but I would have liked to have seen them win. I mean, everyone says Barrett's a winner, but he didn't get to the Final Four, which I thought should have been a lock.
But and I've been saying this for years about Duke, Mark. I mean, Krzyzewski changed his style of coaching when he started coaching pros. And if you watch Duke play, there was no offensive scheme. I mean, it was get the ball to Zion, and I think Barrett's biggest struggle was trying to keep up with the points that Zion was putting up. I mean, R.J. Barrett forced more shots this year for Duke than I've ever seen a player at Duke do, and that's why they got beat. They got beat when you play against disciplined basketball teams and there were a lot of, you use Virginia who won national championship, there's not a more disciplined offensive team in the country than Virginia. You're going to lose those games to teams like that if you're not disciplined. That's what happened to the Duke Blue Devils.
They were lucky to get to the Elite Eight.
They were lucky to get the Elite Eight. And I guess
you hit it on the head. Coach K did not shine at all in the NCAAs. Down the stretch in that game they lost, it was very bad coaching or no coaching. And when you say he forced a lot of shots, that's the knock on why he shot. I believe it was 30.8% from three-point range.
Yep.
Bad shot selection, they feel, in the NBA. He'll have other weapons around him. Or the spacing is better. Like, he's not the first option, or maybe the second option as a rookie. So they think he'll be smarter in terms of not forcing shots.
So what do you think they do? Okay, we have Durant that's going to be, you said, 32 years old, coming off an Achilles injury, which is obviously a very difficult injury to you can come back from it. You just saw Kawhi Leonard do it. We get that. Kawhi Leonard is out there. They have all this money. I mean, is it possible they just say, we're going to sign Durant, and we're going to save a little bit of this money, and we'll develop our team, and then maybe grab somebody next year? Or what plays out here for them?
Yeah, that's definitely one of the options. I think they still have a chance at Kevin. I think they just, even if you sign him, I don't think that's the joy that it would have been had he not got hurt, because there's so much mystery, and risk in giving the guy $150 million at his age. He's a big man. He's 6'11". And, for big men to come back from Achilles especially is troubling. So the other option, listen, they also got that Michigan kid. They traded up Brazdeikis, who led the Wolverines in scoring. They actually signed Chris Wilkes, who was the leading scorer for UCLA. He went undrafted, and he should have been drafted. The agents, just in the late stages, said, listen, if you could let him become a free agent, to do us a favor. But so they have three more young guys with Barrett coming in. The other plan is, let's develop these bunch of young players. And it's not really a great plan because, I'll be honest, Kevin Knox, their lottery pick last year, showed some weaknesses on the defensive end as an efficient scorer. I mean, he's got to really take the next step in his second season. But, I mean, there's no – listen, they're going to be desperate, and that's why they would give Durant the money. But, there's – the joy that they had going into the off season is not found at the present time.
All right, we got like a minute left. What do you tell a Knicks fan that's listening to this interview? Is what can they look forward to going into this season? Is there a ray of light here for us, Mark?
Well, I mean, if you do get Durant, okay, so he doesn't play, so you're in the lottery again. You're not making the playoffs. You get another lottery pick. You hope these six rookie sophomores show even more promise, and you add another lottery pick, and you add Durant, and then maybe you have more cap space to add another solid player. So maybe it's just, as Mills said in the press conference, patience. Another season of losing or tanking and watching the young kids grow. We didn't think that's what it was going to be, but it's starting to look that way.
Maybe call the Yankees, get Aaron Judge to jump out there for a few games a year. He's a big body, you know what I mean?
He's tall enough to score inside, for sure.
He could play the four.
No question about that. Mark, thanks so much for the time, my man. We'll talk to you again down the road, okay?
All right, thanks so much, guys.
All right, the New York Post Knicks insider Mark Berman. That's what I mean. It's so intriguing for the Knicks. Like, this was supposed to be the rebuild was going to happen. They got these young players. They have all this money. Maybe one of that's what the NBA is now, right? It's super teams. I mean, how many great players can you stockpile and put a little bit of garbage around it and try to win it and try to win? That's what the NBA is. We're going to talk about that next segment a little bit, but it's just, I feel bad for the Knicks fan.
I think you hit it on the head with the Kyrie thing. Like, he doesn't want to go there. He'd rather go to the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, no. Think about that for Kyrie Irving, though, Alex. What a baby if that's the case. It's too much pressure to go play for the Knicks.
But no one goes to the Knicks anymore. What big free agent have they gotten over
the last
20
years?
How can you
not want to play? If you could, this is why I always said if I was a great football player, I'd want to go play for the Cleveland Browns. If I can turn the Browns around, you're going to be a legend. If you go to the New York Knicks and turn that organization around, an organization like the New York Knicks, you play in Madison Square Garden, you play for the New York Knicks.
Well, that's how toxic the environment is there.
Evidently. But that's just so much about Kyrie Irving, right? I don't want to play this. Too much pressure. I didn't like the way it was in Boston. So much pressure there. I'm going to go to the Nets where nobody cares.
If it didn't work for him in Boston, it's not going to work in New York. It's the same.
But that says more about him than anything
else. Exactly. That's what I mean. Yes.
Oh, these guys drive me nuts.
The Knicks do get to look forward to having RJ Barrett, who I think is one of the most well-rounded basketball prospects coming out of college in a while.
Well, he's definitely been highly, you know, spoken about.
I
but
like
if you
his
watch
game
him play
a lot.
You like his game.
Yeah.
I mean, solid player, but Mike, you don't even know what his game is. What he was so sloppy late in the year, and he kind of got lost during especially in the tournament. He was like non-existent. I mean, I think he's a good player. I think he's going to be a good pro, but we got some.
Number three, I didn't see it.
Yeah,
but
that's another example of why these kids should stay another year or two.
I didn't see, like, he could be a good NBA player, but he's supposed to be a superstar at number three, right?
Yeah, supposed to be a difference maker at number three.
I don't think he's a difference maker.
All right, we'll be right back.
Sports Saturday is back on 101.3 The Game.
Good morning. It is Sports Saturday here on 101.3 The Game. I'm your host, Jeff Paul. Alex Abrami filling in for Austin Danforth. Batman is filling in for Robin. That's what I'm going to tell Austin when he gets home. That's what you
Please
said.
Please do that.
Oh, I'm definitely
Anytime
saying
you can poke at Austin,
I
that's
love
good.
To do that. Then you can go back. You guys can have it out in the newsroom and at the Free Press. I'm just kidding. I don't want you to fight. 655-6672 is the number to call if you want to join our conversation today, 802-655-6672, or you can text us on the Town Fair Tire text line at the same number, 655-6672. Andrew from Ferrisburg sent us a text. When was the last time the Knicks team was a desirable place to play?
Exactly.
But it's the New York Knicks. It's the New York Knicks. I don't care if they haven't been good in 18 years. You play in Madison Square Garden. You are one of the Knicks are still probably one of the most popular teams in the league. Even if they're not any good, when you think about the NBA, the Knicks are historically one of the greatest franchises in the NBA. I mean, I know they may not have been good for a while, but if you're an elite player and you come to New York and you're successful, if you really think you're elite and you really think you're a winner, now this is what says everything to me about Kyrie Irving. Like, if you think you're really that great, if you think you're that special, but the mindset you have is, you know, it didn't work out in Boston, so I'm going to go play for Brooklyn where, you know, we can be good, but if I'm not good, it's not going to be as big a deal as if I'm not good with the Knicks. I mean, that just says everything about the athlete.
It does, but look at the ownership, look at the coaches they've had in the last 20 years. It's been really, really bad.
It may have been bad.
LeBron didn't go, and the Knicks were in the race in 2010, right, for LeBron?
Yeah.
Like, who knows? I mean, he was like.
Yeah, but LeBron was only going to go where he's going to bring his down to Miami where he had everybody down there. You know, he wanted to go. He wanted to go. He went down with Wade and with Bosch. He wanted to go win. But I mean, which we can get into what I think of LeBron in a minute with the Lakers. I want to talk to you about that. But I mean, if the Knicks are one of those organizations that if you can turn it around, you're going to be a god. And why wouldn't you want that drive to go do that? And I don't care about the owner and the coach. I mean, if you put the right players out there, you're going to be successful. But just, it's the New York Knicks. It's the New York Knicks. I personally right now would rather play for the New York Knicks than the LA Lakers. And I'll tell you about that in a minute. I mean, the LA Lakers, when LeBron, so I don't know.
The Lakers are.
Lakers are what? What are the Lakers now? What are they now?
How many NBA titles they have?
No, they got a lot. I know.
The Knicks have two.
Seriously, historically, the Lakers. I understand what you're saying. The Lakers are great, but if where the Lakers are today, to where the Knicks are today, and this is what you're going to laugh because obviously, and we're going to talk about this with you guys. So Vegas came out with who they think's going to who's the favorites to win, and the Lakers are the favorite to win.
Yeah.
How can that be? Because
they have LeBron James. Yeah. And someone knew and that Anthony Davis was going to be there.
So LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Then who else? Kyle Kuzma?
Yeah, that is not a balanced roster.
Who else? Okay. Stevenson?
They'll find a shooter.
They have no money.
Find a shooter or two in the offseason.
They have very little money. So if I'm Kawhi Leonard, am I looking at the Lakers? Am I saying, so fair enough. Let's say that you're right here. Let's say, okay, they can win this year. But think about where the Lakers are going to be in 5 years. Like, where is this franchise going to be?
They want to win now. They have LeBron, so they want to win now in the twilight of his career.
And what do I say, Aaron? LeBron James, this is what LeBron James does. He cleans out organizations, doesn't he? He does. Look at what he does. He's like Independence Day. The big spaceship comes down. Everybody's excited to see it. You know, they're going up on top of buildings. Oh, he's here. It's throwing signs. Like, everything's exciting. Then what happens? Then, you know, when it gets bad, he leaves the organization in ruins. And that's what's going to happen here in Los Angeles when he leaves.
Yeah, what LA needs to realize is if they don't get another big fish this year and LeBron chooses to leave at some point in the near future, they become the Pelicans for the last 6 years.
Of course they do.
Except worse, because right now they don't even have that roster.
Look at the trade. 4 first-round picks and all that young talent. For AD, fair enough. You brought in Anthony Davis. Good. Now what? If I'm Kawhi Leonard, am I saying I want to be a Laker?
Some people thought them keeping Kuzma was like, that made that trade worth it.
Who thought that?
Well, him and Ingram are considered the two guys from that period of drafting who have a legitimate future still. So I think that's kind of the logic. But it hasn't panned out so far, so I don't know why you
I agree with you. So now you've lost all these first-round picks. You've got LeBron James. Fair enough. Whatever you think of LeBron James, he's a great elite. He's the player of this generation. I get it. He's great. He put a team on his back. I get it. But he's obviously couldn't stay healthy last year. He's aging. You bring in Anthony Davis. I get it. Great player. Never won anything in New Orleans now. Never won anything in New Orleans. But now he's going to be with LeBron. So we like that matchup there.
He might be the best center in the league.
He might be the best center in the league. But that's fine. But what else is around them? And if you're Kawhi Leonard, and this is my point. If you're Kawhi Leonard today, and he's a free agent. I think he should stay in Toronto. I don't know why. I mean, they're giving him the whole city. They're giving him the whole country.
Yeah, he's the king of the north. Right
I mean,
now.
Anybody that in Toronto, they're giving him everything. So people are giving him houses. They're giving him boats. They're giving him whatever he wants. But why would you look at the Lakers and say, unless it's because you want to wear the uniform and you want to play in the Forum? Are they still playing in the Forum? The Staples Center.
Staples Center. Yeah.
If you want to play in that arena, you want to be in LA. I get all that. But if you're looking at the future and you want to sign a big contract with an organization, the Lakers are the last team you'd want to sign with. Unless you're like a 36-year-old guy that's still got some talent that wants to win a championship because maybe you'll do it this year. Because after this year or next year, the Lakers are going to be abysmal for a long time.
They do look to be kind of like a 2K team built by a 12-year-old. Like just a really... A mess that looks kind of good on the outside because you got two names.
And what
a
surprise.
Really, what do you actually have?
Exactly. You have LeBron James pulling the strings there. I'm telling you, James is the most polarizing super athlete in the history of super athletes.
80's great, but he is injury prone, is he not? And then you've got LeBron who is that body can't take that forever. His play style doesn't really translate to being 37. So as he gets older, every year he gets older, it seems that he's losing what he's got in terms of offensive skill. And so there's only so long that this can be okay, especially with, I mean, if you lose AD tomorrow, then you've got LeBron who might not have anything left in the tank and a bunch of nobody.
Guys, go ahead.
Let's look at the West because the Warriors aren't winning next year. Half their superstars are on the
DL. Clay Top. Right,
and then the Rockets are a mess and they can't play defense and they're arguing in-house. Who's the favorite out of the West?
I don't care.
The Trailblazers?
Fine. Maybe the Lakers can win the West. Maybe they can go to a final. Fine. But my point to you is, for anybody like, say, Kawhi Leonard, who is right now, would you say that he is right in the middle of an amazing career? He's got plenty of years left to play?
Well, because they won the title, I think, you know, you can say that he's the best player in the NBA right now.
Best player in the NBA.
Yeah.
Why would you choose the Lakers? The Lakers. Because you know, in within two, potentially 2 years, or potentially one big injury, that team is going nowhere. The organization is going to be at the you're going to be lottery picking within 2 or 3 years. Simple as that.
I will say
AD is only 25, right?
But AD, you can't do it alone with just AD.
Well, no, but if Kawhi went there, then it's AD and Kawhi once LeBron.
And with who else? No draft picks, no money. I mean, I think they have like $22 million to play with or something. I don't even know. I was reading it this morning. I should have pulled it up. I heard they had
room for one
max contract, but they have to fill their roster.
Yeah,
out.
They can't just get a max contract.
It's not like they've got a full roster plus they got this extra money. It's not how it's working.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is, yes, you know, today it looks really, really good. It's like, you know, it's like, hey, man, I sit down in front of a big cake, like, I'm going to eat all that cake. But when that cake's gone, you know, I mean, you know, you're not feeling too good. That's what the Lakers are going to be.
I think they're just worried about that later.
Maybe
they want to win an NBA title.
If I'm Kawhi Leonard, that's why I'm not going.
I will say the one star player who that probably looks like a very appetizing spot for is Kemba Walker.
Sure, Kemba Walker, but I wouldn't say Kemba Walker. I mean, again, but I don't think that Kemba Walker puts the Lakers over the top to win the championship. I can see Kemba Walker going there. Fair enough, fine. But they're not gonna divulge tons of years on Kemba Walker. But they'd want to with Kawhi Leonard. That's what Kawhi Leonard wants. Why would you want to go there if you're Kawhi Leonard? I got to go to the text line here. Unnamed says the Knicks' place as a historical NBA franchise is so overrated. MSG is no longer the Mecca. An entire generation has come through with New York City is not relevant in the NBA or in college basketball. You can say what you want about anything. And I agree with you when it comes to college basketball and in New York City. It's been a bad run basketball-wise in New York. But to sit here and say that Madison Square Garden is not the Mecca and that the New York Knicks is not an established organization in the NBA is just, it's ludicrous. It's ludicrous. I mean, stop being so short-sighted, people. It's a great organization. It's an iconic organization. It's like the Cleveland Browns. Like if Baker Mayfield brings the Cleveland Browns to a Super Bowl, he's going to be that would just be amazing in terms of legacy.
Yeah, but up until last year, they're the laughingstock of the NFL.
But that doesn't mean that you wouldn't want to go play there and turn an iconic organization around. So that's being short-sighted, though, don't you think? Like, yeah, they were bad for a long time. We get it. The Browns have been a laughingstock. We get it. But don't you want to turn the corner on that and say, look, the Cleveland Browns are an iconic NFL franchise. We're going to turn this thing around and we're going to be the guys to do it. Why wouldn't you want to do that with the New York Knicks?
It's not what they've accomplished because they've accomplished plenty, but that's not what it is. It's that sports town. It's the fact that they turned Jeremy Lin into a superstar for weeks and that dude's a nobody at this point. Like that, if you accomplish something in New York on a sports team, you will become a god.
It's true. It's true. And again, more importantly, there are a handful of, we got to take a break, I know soon, but there are a handful of organizations in our sports society, right? We could probably list 10 teams off in all sports that are iconic organizations. And I would say the Knicks are one of those. If we made a list of the 20 most iconic, if we made a list of the 10 most iconic organizations in the NBA, the Knicks would be in there.
Oh, yeah. If you're talking about the entire length of the NBA history,
that's what I'm saying. It's an iconic organization. Yeah. They play in an iconic building. It's the greatest city in the world in terms of sports.
But it says something that
it does.
Today's NBA stars don't want to play there.
It does say something about that. But if I was Kyrie Irving, or if I was one of these superstars in the NBA, and I had an opportunity to go turn it around in New York, I would go in a heartbeat. It's a New York Knicks, everybody. What do you say about the Celtics when they were having all their bad years when they got Garnett and all those guys? Now, don't go to Boston because it's been bad for about 10 years? No, you go to Boston, you turn the corner. It was pretty bad.
Not as bad as what the Knicks have gone through.
All right. Agree to disagree. We'll be right back.
Get ready because you're about to hear some weird shit. This is Out in Left Field on 101.3 The Game.
Aaron takes over and we do something we call Out in Left Field segment. And usually, it's just just like it sounds. It's Out in Left Field. What do you got today,
Kevin? Oh, we're going all the way to the wall today. A Japanese airline plans to power flights with the help of rabbit poo.
Oh, boy.
That's sit for a second. Marinate. A Japanese airline could soon power their aircraft with the help of rabbit poo. Huh. Nippon Airways will go with. Partnered with Lanza Tech, are hoping to introduce the greener fuel choice by 2021. The new fuel would use recycled emissions such as from steel plants, which are then converted into ethanol using enzymes found in the poo of rabbits. This would then be converted into aviation fuel to be used on commercial flights. The new sustainable fuel would be combined with the fossil fuel that's currently used at a 50-50 ratio. With a test run on delivery flight this autumn, it is hoped the new fuel can be rolled out by 2021. The executive vice president for ANA said in a statement, "Adopting this advanced fuel will allow us to reduce CO2 emissions and meet the ambitious sustainable development goals that we have set for the airline." I'm having the hardest time reading today.
Well, listen, I mean, when you're talking about rabbit poo fueling an airplane, I don't know if I'm confident getting in the first class of that plane. You know, I mean, I've only been in first class like twice, and you get excited in that. But if I knew that the plane was being flown by rabbit poop, I'd have a problem.
I'll wait on standby.
But I will say this. My guess is if this works, rabbit poo will become quite a commodity. And in my backyard, I have mounds of this stuff. Like, I must have 30,000 rabbits living in my backyard. I've never seen so much rabbit poo.
So it's like buying a house and finding out you're on like an oil.
It might end up being that for me. I'm going to be out back putting this stuff in bags, putting it in a freezer.
Then you can buy the Knicks.
And then I can buy the Knicks. And then people want to play for the Knicks. Yeah. Maybe they don't like me, but whatever.
But you won't be James Dolan at least.
No, I won't be. It's funny you said that because Todd just wrote here, all of what you're saying about the Knicks is true and the NBA is better league when they're competitive, but you're overlooking that Dolan is a joke and players don't want to play for him. It makes Donald Sterling look like Red Auerbach. That's Todd. I get that he's a bad owner, but I would argue that there was a time where they thought George Steinbrenner was a bad owner in New York and they weren't winning. But when you go and you win, I mean, it doesn't matter who the owner is. To me, I'm not even looking at those things. I'm just looking at the Knicks. It's the New York Knicks.
Well, you know the story about Steinbrenner, how they got better again.
Yeah. Well, I know a lot of stories.
Well, he got suspended, and then George Michael rebuilt the
Gene
farm
Michael,
system.
Yeah.
Gene
that's
Michael,
true.
Sorry,
that's
not
true.
George
that's
Michael.
True. Yep.
George Michael. Gene Michael rebuilt the farm system or whatever, and they didn't trade away their prize farm system
true.
Guys.
Very true.
And then they turned back into a dynasty.
Very true.
But George is a great, he was a great owner because he paid his players.
Oh, yeah. He take care of his guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. You might be right. I just, to me, I take all those things out. Like, I take the owner out. I take all that stuff out, and I just look at what it is. And to me, it's an iconic organization. Why wouldn't you want to be a part of it? I don't know. Why wouldn't you want to refix that? Like, if you could be the guy to fix that, that'd be something.
We're overlooking one of the greatest texts in the history of the text line.
Yeah.
Relating to the rabbit poo.
Right, yeah.
Steve? Story. Steve says, that stinks.
Yep. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Actually, rabbit poo doesn't stink at all. I'm telling you, it's telling
you
in my backyard.
I'm a little bit upset that you know that.
Not that I've ever picked it up and smelled it, but I know that when I'm shoveling the stuff and I'm just trying to get rid of it, I don't have a gag reflex like I do when I pick up my dog's poop. You know what I mean? Well, follow me on that?
Don't be getting rid of it anymore.
I won't do it. All right, sports update time, kiddo.
Another day of sports talk in the Champlain Valley. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game.
This hour of Sports Saturday is brought to you by Vermont Engine Service. They've been in business since 1985, located at 16 Krupp Drive in Williston, 802-863-2326. You can visit them online at www.vermontengine.com or on Facebook. Their hours of operation are 7:30 to 5, Monday through Friday, and Saturdays they're open 8 to noon. So, Alex, you know, they're open right now. So if you need something done, you know, they're open till noon, buddy.
Good to know.
They're an engine machine shop that does engine rebuilding, boring and honing of cylinders, crankshaft grinding, head rebuilding, engine balancing, turn brake drums and rotors, flywheel resurfacing. They do all that stuff.
You know, I love head rebuilding.
Well, plus,
or head, what was that?
I don't know where you're going with that, but I'm just going to keep going on this. They also sell mowers. They sell Dixie Chopper and Grasshopper zero-turn mowers, and they have incredible deals on holdover Dixie Choppers. And as I say every week when we talk about our good friends over at Vermont Engine, most people will say, 'tis the season to mow the lawn. So you don't want to buy the lawn mower this time of year because you're going to be paying a lot of money because this is what people know. You want to buy them in the winter. Aha, my friend. That's not true anymore. Go to Vermont Engine Service and get yourself a great deal on a lawnmower. And those zero-turn mowers are unbelievable. They're unbelievable. I mean, I can't figure it out. But again, I'm the guy that has a hard time figuring out how to turn the heat on in my car. Okay, but these are unbelievable. So check them out over at Vermont Engine Company. They are the best. Check them out. 16 Krupp Drive in Williston, 802-863-2326. We're proud to have them as a part of our Sports Saturday family here on 101.3 The Game. All right, a lot of conversations that first hour, eh?
Yeah.
A lot of NBA. Talk about the Knicks. Talk about the Lakers. A little LeBron James. I still feel bad for the Knicks. I've got such a good... One of our sponsors from Superb Cupcakes my buddy Joe is a huge Knicks fan, and he's been so excited about this offseason, and now he's not so excited. I mean, it's just like it's falling apart. It's just too bad. I feel bad for him.
I think they'll land a fish this year. I still got a feeling.
Oh, they might land somebody, but I mean, who? I mean, it's not like, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't think it's going to be Kawhi Leonard. And if you get Durant, it's going to be at least a year. So it's, I mean, I think what Knicks fans are looking for is some relief. You know, like, okay, we're going to be relevant for a season. And, no, and it's just, I don't think 20, it's going to happen.
Another 21 season.
And RJ, you know, and RJ Barrett isn't the guy. I mean, he's going to be a good player. Let's face it. I mean, he's going to be a good player, but I mean, he's not the guy that's going to turn this organization around,
no,
you know?
No.
All right, I got to ask you this. You're a big Giants fan like I am. You and I argue a little bit about Gettleman. I think what Dave Gettleman is doing, I'm all in with Dave Gettleman. I am all in with Dave Gettleman. I love the draft of the quarterback from Duke, Daniel Jones. I love the moving of these superstar players. I love who he's drafted. But we know he traded our guy, Odell Beckham Jr., who, by the way, is not my guy. But Odell Beckham Jr. keeps taking shots at the Giants. I mean, let me read this quote. This is what he said the other day. I just felt with the Giants I was just stuck at a place that wasn't working for me anymore, Beckham said. I felt like I wasn't going to be able to reach my full potential there. Mentally, physically, spiritually, everything I felt capable of doing, I just couldn't see it happening there. So I think allowing me to be in an environment where I can be myself and give it a different approach, I feel like my football will benefit. Oh, yeah? Here's what he finished with. I'm just excited about being able to play football again and not to have to deal with all the other stuff and politics that came with my previous role. Oh my God, Odell Beckham Jr., just be quiet. Let me just say this, and I'm going to ask everybody this question. Is there ever been a more overhyped athlete than Odell Beckham Jr.? Ever. Ever, ever, ever. What did Odell Beckham Jr. do for the New York Giants that brought them any kind of success? Like, what big catch did Odell Beckham Jr. had one crazy catch, and you'd think, and he thinks he's Jerry Rice.
They lost that game, by the way.
Oh, no, they blew a big lead in that game.
Yeah, and that put him up two touchdowns, that catch.
Yeah,
they lost that game to the Cowboys on Sunday Night Football. No one remembers that.
Oh, I remember that. Okay. I remember the drop pass against the Patriots in a big game that they had to win. They had an opportunity when he dropped the ball in the end zone. Remember that? Yeah. I also remember the pass he dropped in the first drive of the one playoff he went to with the Giants against Green Bay.
The one pass?
On the first drive when they were driving. It was a third down pass right in the middle, right in his hands. He dropped the ball, and we know what happened in that. Odell Beckham Jr. is an elite athlete, no question about it. He's a fun guy to watch. But I'm going to tell you, this kid is not a winner. And if I was a Cleveland Browns fan and I keep reading all these quotes and all these things he's saying, I feel bad for the Cleveland Browns. I'm telling you.
The quote from the guy who was kicking kickers' nets, pushing them over, always complaining about something, had to have his cleats stylized in a way that gets him fined every week, was there was too much drama in New York? That was his quote.
Well, and how about this? Every time they'd score it's a touchdown, every time he'd score a touchdown, there'd be a penalty. So the other team would score it because they'd be at the 50. The other team would be at the 50, so there'd be some kind of points by the other team. He is the most, I think what Dave Gettleman has done in New York is brilliant. I think it is. I think this team's gonna push for a playoff spot this year, number one. And number two, I think bringing Odell Beckham into Cleveland, that young, up and coming team, is going to be a problem because I think Baker Mayfield's not going to take any crap, and I think that's going to cause a problem for the Cleveland Browns. Your gut.
I'm an Odell fan. I was an Odell fan. I think he's a special talent, special player.
Yeah.
You know, my son, Anthony, he's 10, and so like naturally loves him.
Yeah.
Not so much anymore. I think we've moved on.
Yeah, good, but Anthony. Like,
you couldn't deny his talent, and NFL is a team. Football is a team sport, so you can't change the game with one player, especially at the receiver position, because you have the ball has to come to you,
right?
And if it doesn't come to you, then you're non-existent in the game,
right?
But he was a special player. He still is, but like all this other stuff on the side, like it's just not worth it.
Yeah, and I would say this: he is a special player. Don't get me wrong, but again, I'm gonna ask the same question: 655-6672 if you want to call us, or 802-655-6672. You can join us in the Town Fair Tire text line as well if you don't, because we've getting a ton of texts. What has Odell Beckham done that makes him a quote unquote winning football player? Like, what has he ever done?
I would say because now he's been hurt the last 2 years.
Sure, I get that.
So he's missed a lot of games.
Yep.
But the year they made the playoffs out of this last little run where like they've been so bad since the 2011 Super Bowl, he was winning games for them. You know, there was the catch and run touchdown against the Cowboys in whatever week 14 back in 2016. Like there were like three or four games that year where he won on his own basically. and that was at the height of his powers. But since then, he's been hurt.
Yeah,
I think that year you could look at as like he was.
But do you look
he was
at but
changing
but,
games but, and changing results?
But
because
do,
of
but
his,
do you look at, but you look at him, Alex, as like you looked at Jerry Rice when he was on the field, or the way you looked at, you know, even Terrell Owens when he was on the field, or, and not that Terrell Owens ever won anything, but you know, these teams were more, were historically better than these teams. And I get that he's played on some bad Giant football teams. But Odell Beckham Jr. to me, yeah, I mean, okay, he made the big, I remember the Cowboy game, they were down, it was like, what did they end up winning the game, like 7-6 or something? It was something ridiculous. Yeah. And he made it, there was a, you know, a little slant and he caught it and he went. Yeah. But he was lost at times. I just remember seasons where he was getting in fights with cornerback from Carolina.
Oh, Josh Norman?
You know,
oh, and taking himself out of the game.
Taking himself out of the game completely in a game that they had to, in a team game that they were still in playoff contention. I just remember all the distractions that he's been and all the excuses he had to make. And if you notice Cleveland, when he wasn't showing up for the OTAs, you know, the coaching staff's like, oh, it's okay. We know he's doing what he's supposed to do. And they're having to keep answering Odell Beckham Jr. questions. I mean, this kid, elite, fun to watch when he makes a play or two, but not a winner. And I don't know if he's the right fit in Cleveland. I just don't think it's the right fit.
So I defended him for a while. But like, you can't, like, enough is enough with all these distractions on the side. The thing in the Paris Hotel was it last year?
A couple years ago.
Like, enough is enough. And like these quotes, they're pretty ridiculous. The fact that the Giants put up with so much with him for 5 years.
Yeah.
So much with him. And then gave him a 5-year deal.
Yeah,
don't sign the five-year deal. If you don't think the Giants are the right franchise
for
you.
And he basically held the Giants hostage. He wasn't going to show up until he did it. So the Giants give him his money. And this is what he does? I think it's ridiculous.
So 2 points. One, something is holding Odell back. Something's keeping him from his potential. Something's causing drama around him. It's not the New York Giants. It's Odell Beckham. And then two, I thought it was very funny that when he first got to the Browns, it started out as them making excuses for him every time. And the narrative's already changed within the last couple of months, where Freddie Kitchens went from, oh, it's okay, he's doing what he's got to do, to, yeah, he's missed a lot.
Yeah, that was telling.
And for an organization like the Browns, and we just talked about, you know, what a joke they've been, right? I mean, they've been the laughingstock of the NFL. Now we have a team that I think people expect. Let's take Odell Beckham out of the, let's take before the trade for Odell Beckham Jr. You have a football team that's got the franchise quarterback, it looks like. Looks like you have a franchise running back in Chubb, right? It looks like he's the real deal. You got a great defense, a great offensive line. You've got talented wide receivers. You look like you're the team that's ready to take the next step. Now you bring in this polarizing personality that it's proven that if he doesn't get the ball and things aren't going his way, he's had the ability to be a huge distraction. In a young organization like this, I look at the Cleveland Browns as they're an older organization, but they're new to winning. With a rookie quarterback, Baker Mayfield, who is let's face it, man, he's a lightning rod, right? I mean, he's looking for a fight anytime he can get it. He's not afraid to tell you. I mean, this could be either really cool for Cleveland, or this could be really bad for Cleveland. I feel like it's all or nothing. Because I don't feel like those two personalities, unless things are going really well, are going to mesh together. I don't know. Yeah. Am I wrong?
There are a lot of talented players on Cleveland.
I mean, Baker's not Eli Manning. You know, Eli doesn't say a word. He just kind of sits, which drives me bananas, by the way. But, you know, Eli just kind of goes off to the side and just, you know, with his face, doesn't yell. I mean, Baker will get in your face. What happens when that happens on the sideline in Cleveland?
It'll be fun to watch.
It'll be fun for Giant fans like you and me. I'll
sit back with my popcorn.
And I want to root for Cleveland. That's the thing, I want to root for him, right? Don't you? I mean, I love the fact that this great organization is coming back. But now it's going
to
be hard.
Well, it's Cleveland's a great organization. You want to see them come back. It's also, it would be cool for once to see one of these plug and play operations actually work out.
Sure.
But they feel like it's like a lit match sitting in between a fuse on a bomb and a fuse on a rocket pointed right at the championship.
Yeah.
And whichever way the wind blows, that's where they're going.
Yeah, we're going to see how it plays out. But I just find it every other week. There's an article in the New York Post about Odell just keeps going after the Giants. Unprovoked, just keeps going right after.
Stop talking.
Todd just wrote, there is no way the Giants, and I haven't even read this yet, so I don't know what he's going to say, but there is no way the Giants are a playoff team this year, in part because of the division. The Eagles and the Cowboys are way better than them as far as Odell. He's been hurt the last couple years, but when he's healthy, he's a top five receiver. Can see the Browns holding it together enough for 1 year to be good, but they're too combustible the long term. I would argue that the Eagles aren't as good as I think people think they are. I don't think the Cowboys are that good either. I don't think Dak Prescott's a very good quarterback. I think they had question marks on the offensive line. They had question marks on the defensive end. I think you're bringing back a quarterback in Wentz that's proven he can't be healthy. They were down last year. I don't think the Redskins are that good. I think the Giants are going to be a football team that, I'm not saying they're going to go to the playoffs, but they're going to push for one. They're going to push for a division.
They're better than last year's 5-win team.
No question about that.
Whether it's Eli, or they end up using Daniel Jones.
But more importantly, they protected him. Like they got, yes. There's going to be a good offensive line in front of them. They have the best running back in the league. I mean, Saquon Barkley is an absolute beast, and you've got pro receivers.
Yep.
To me, that are quality receivers, and you've got a tight end in Engram that I think is really talented. You got a faster defense. I mean, I think this Giant team is going to surprise you. But I agree with Todd on one thing. It's like, and I think it's funny, the Browns could hold it together for 1 year. You know what I mean? But think about that. But again, that's what I'm talking about. The Browns are supposed to be the up-and-coming team. They're supposed to be that, and they're all young. You know, you bring in Odell Beckham Jr., now people are like, yeah, it might work for a year. We'll see how it goes. Crazy stuff.
I think you'll need a little bit of luck to win the division, because what you're going to need is the Eagles last year, what took the wheels off them was that offensive line didn't stay healthy. So if the offensive line stays healthy, they're a really good team. If it doesn't, they're eh.
Well, but Wentz has got to stay healthy. You don't have Foles to fall back on. The reason the Eagles got better at the end was because Foles took over and won them some games late. I mean, you know, the Eagles
Foles also because they got back two or three of their offensive linemen.
I would just say I think the Eagles are I don't think the Eagles are this vulnerable team that you know they're the Super Bowl team from a couple of years ago. I think they're a vulnerable team.
The Eagles had to make quite the run to get to the playoffs last year.
Very good point. Yeah, right? Very good point.
And then the Cowboys, they had flashes. Their defense looked really good for a little period, but is that something that they can actually rely on or not? And if that's not the case, yeah, the Redskins, they look like they're probably going to be a dumpster fire. And the Cowboys don't have an offense as long as Dak Prescott's there.
Interesting that the Cowboys put all that into Dak. And I like Dak as a kid. I think he's a great guy. But I mean, if you're a Cowboy fan, I mean, you look at Dak Prescott, and you're not a Cowboy fan, Alex, but I mean, you look at Dak Prescott and think, wow, the Cowboys are set at quarterback for the next 10 years.
He's resilient and tough.
Yep.
And he can win games, he can manage games, but if you slow down Elliott, which is hard to do because their O-line, which is getting older, so it's not going to be at its peak for much longer.
Well, and they struggled last year.
They did.
Yeah.
You can't. Dak's not going to win you games. Right. Not going to down the stretch. He's not going to win you games.
Be interesting to see. All right.
It's the NFL, too.
It is.
You know, you could be worst to first in a year.
My brother just texted me. He goes, growing up, we had kids. We had rabbits growing up. And my brother just said, remember I mentioned that rabbit poop doesn't stink? So my brother just texted me and said, you don't seem to remember cleaning out the rabbit condo we had when we were kids. It smelled pretty bad. You know what? That's pretty true. But I think that was because the rabbit kind of was not just mixed with poop, but it was mixed with the other thing too. You know, it was like pee and poop at the same time. You know, so we're cleaning all that out. So I think, Mike, that had something to do with it. But thanks for reminding me, of course. It's always good to be reminded about that stuff. What we're talking about there is our out in left field was there's an airline in Japan that's going to try to fly airplanes with rabbit dung.
They're mixing another concoction of chemicals with
an enzyme
from rabbit poop to make ethanol.
Yeah. And I just want them to know that I have plenty of it in my backyard. And if it's going to get me some cash, I will start glad bagging that immediately when I get home. So Monica, get the pooper scooper out. When I get home, we're going to dig all that stuff up. That's what we're going to do. Anyway,
at some point we got to get to this text from unnamed about the top 10 NBA franchises.
Do it real quick. We've got 2 minutes.
So right now we've got a text that is the top 10 NBA franchises. Number 1, Celtics. Number 2, Lakers. Number 3, Bulls. Number 4, Spurs. Number 5, Warriors. Number 6, Pistons. Number 7, 76ers. Number 8, Rockets.
And I'm right. The Knicks.
The Knicks are in number 10.
I don't know if you can
put 9.
But are the Warriors historically?
Yeah, that's weird because they've been good recently.
But they were good back in the day when they had Wilt, right? Yeah. So I guess you got to put them in there.
Can the Bulls be that high? They were great with Jordan.
Sure. So the only era that the Bulls were something was that era. That's a very good point there.
Yeah, that is true.
And I think the Pistons were good a lot.
I don't know.
The Sixers, I think, are one of those organizations. I guess we could argue about them, but I agree with the Knicks are in that. I would say the Knicks are a little higher than, I could even put the Knicks in terms of historic relevancy higher than the Bulls. Even though Michael played for the Bulls and Michael is, I think we put the Bulls a little bit higher because of what Michael represents to the game and what that team represented.
I think people forget that the Pistons and the Rockets had a much longer run than it seems like. They just kept getting knocked off
the Pistons
by
the
Bulls.
The Bulls had to overcome the Pistons.
They did.
I mean, remember the Jordan rules with Dumars. Joe Dumars.
Yeah, I mean, you go way back, it was like, the Bulls can't win with just Jordan.
Exactly.
Jordan can't do it by himself. Yeah.
The Bulls years with Brad Sellers and those guys when Doug Collins was their coach. I mean, they were close, but the Pistons rolled over them. I mean, the big bad boys from Detroit were Rick Mahorn.
When it was a big deal for them to beat the Cavs.
Yeah, I still remember that win against the Cavs.
One of the greatest shots ever.
All right, take a quick break. When we come back, we're talking some football. The Vermont Bucks, our only pro team here in Vermont. Don't go anywhere. We got their owner and their coach next.
Now back to Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game.
I mean, nothing beats when we get our guests to come in studio. I mean, Alex, I know you're not in here very much because you're filling in for my boy Austin Danforth, but when the guests want to come in and actually hang out with me, I like that. Because not many people want to do that.
You know, see, I mean? You face to face?
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, to get this close to me. Like Joanna is. You're like, we're like touching shoulders over here. But joining us now is the owner of the Vermont Bucks and the head coach, or the owner, Joanna Morris, and the head coach, Jeff Porter. Guys, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for
me. So, we got to have you talk right into that microphone.
Thank you for having us.
All right, perfect. So listen, 2 years ago, the Bucks took over the city. I mean, it was so fast. I mean, one of the things I thought was amazing was we saw a professional organization come to the city, and it was created like in a half an hour. I mean, you know, the season was made. You're playing at Gutterson. Crowds were great. I mean, I used to love going to these games. You know, I mean, Irving Bryson, the head coach, you guys won a championship. But since then, things have kind of changed a little bit. So where are we now with Vermont Bucks football?
Yeah, so now we are our first season we were a travel team to come back, actually. And right now we played three games this past season in the New England Arena League.
Mm-hmm.
We're done that season now and looking forward to the future.
So what's happening in the future for the Bucks? What's going on with it?
So right now we're looking for a home arena. We're looking at hopefully maybe St. Albans. Collins Pearly Center is an idea that we're throwing around out there. So that's our next step, is to find an arena.
And the season now for you is what? Where are we at with the season now?
So we are done our first season.
Okay.
That happened February through beginning of June. So now we're done and looking forward to next season, which will be next January through June.
Now, Coach, you've been a part of Vermont football for a long time. You coached at Colchester High School for a little while. Now, you're also the head coach of the University of Vermont club team, which, you know, is a large program. I used to love driving by the your practice field on East Avenue and watch you guys practice once in a while. And now you're the head coach of the Bucks. Talk about, you know, your kind of career to get to this point and what it's been like to get the players back in here to play for the Bucks.
Being experienced here in Vermont, it was relatively easy to get the players to suit up for the Vermont Bucks. We had some players from Castleton State College who played in that Division III program, who played for the Bucks.
And a great program. Castleton's a very good program.
Yeah. Coach does a great job down
there.
And we also had five former UVM club players play for the Vermont Bucks.
Oh, wow.
Along with a number of local high school players. So just having Vermont connections made for a relatively easy transition to bring players on Bucks on board for the Bucks.
Now, is that like the push for you guys? Is as many Vermont players as possible? Is that what I know that in the past, when it first was organized, there were players from all over the country here. There were a handful of Vermont players as well, but you're recruiting all over the country. Is the goal now with the Bucks to try to keep it as local as possible?
So our first season, we did have a few Vermont players, and one of the feedbacks that I got from the community was, why don't we have more Vermont players? And that was the goal this season, is a whole team of Vermont players. And next season, who knows what that goal will be, if it'll be New England players or Vermont and New England players, so we'll see.
What sort of passion do you guys have to keep this going? Because it started 2 years ago, and then last year you took off. It's changed ownership hands. So like, can you speak to the passion of doing something like this, which is, it's very hard to do, to keep it going for more than a season or two?
Well, just speaking, from my experience with the club team at UVM, it's all about passion that drives you. I mean, UVM, we don't have the athletic department behind us, so it's basically myself and the players who, drive the bus, so to speak. And so a very easy transition to the Vermont Bucks, where it's just myself and Joanna driving the bus, and it's that passion for the game, that fuels the bus. So.
And what I think is special is this is ground up now. I mean, obviously with what happened at the end of the Bucks first time, you've taken over as owner, Joanna, and I apologize, your mic was down, but our mic is back up now, so everybody can hear you now. But, it's a ground up mentality now, and you're looking for Vermont guys as well as anybody that wants to play professional football. I mean, how big a deal is it, do you think, for any Vermont athlete, any that wants to play football, that now they have a professional opportunity here in the state of Vermont?
I think that's really important. Football in general in Vermont is dying, what a lot of people are saying. And my goal, my passion is to continue to build Vermont football. And if that's from youth all the way to high school, college, and professional, that's what drives me and that's my passion. And continuing to give Vermont players the opportunity to grow and have another platform to advance their skills is very important to me.
Was the entire roster this past year all Vermonters?
Yes, it was.
How many?
We started the season with 19, and I think we ended with 17, 18. You know, we had some guys who clearly could play at the professional level. Our quarterback, Jack LeClaire, receivers, Jordan Goodrich, Doug Saffo, on the defensive side of the ball, Jason Paul and Juju Aida, along with Joel Parody and George Egitt, all, you know, had stellar seasons and certainly could transfer, you know, what they learned this year to the professional level going forward.
Yeah, you just named a couple names that I recognize from VFA St. Albans football. Yeah. So certainly players that have shined on the high school front here can, you know, a few years down the line, once they graduate, they can play for you guys.
Correct.
So that's a potential.
Coach, what's your take on there was a story in the New York Times a couple of years ago about football in high school, and especially this state, especially. I don't know. I mean, I graduated high school in 1992. I can remember every football team at the division level looked like a small college team. And now, as a soccer coach at Colchester, I'm traveling, and I was just at, and this is to take nothing away, but I was just at Rutland High School. We were playing Rutland High School early in the fall. I went in, and the football team was out practicing, and the numbers are so small. Every sideline you see, they're so small. What's happened to the sport of football that was so dominant in the state? What's happened to it here?
Well, I think one of the factors is just there are so many other quote unquote, I call them distractions, but sure, just things out there, you know, video games, the internet, social media, so many other outlets where young people want to put their energy.
That's scary to me to think that an athlete would rather go play video games than play a sport. That's scary. But that's the era we're in.
Well, there's no risk of injury if you're playing a virtual sport. A lot of the publicity that concussions and CTE have received have certainly eroded the participation in the game of football. You know, kids and parents are very wary of you know, putting pads on their kids or putting a helmet on their kids if there's a risk of injury, you know, a traumatic brain injury. I think what they don't understand is CTE, which is the brain erosion, happens over a long period of time. You know, you're talking players who have played through youth football, high school football, college football, and then lengthy careers and then in the NFL or, right, or a professional league. You know, certainly if you compartmentalize it, you know, playing a couple seasons of youth football and high school football, yeah, there's a risk there, but it's no worse than, you know, playing soccer, sure, lacrosse, hockey, et cetera.
And coaching has something to do with this, right? I mean, and that's the other thing. I mean, I get that injuries can happen anywhere. I mean, you can get a concussion anywhere, obviously. And the CT thing is scary. And football has gotten a lot of bad press. But coaching is really important when it comes to preparing, being able to prepare an athlete so they don't get a concussion potentially, correct?
Correct. Coaching, the correct way to tackle, correct way to protect yourself, protect your head in particular, is extremely important. And, I don't think we didn't have any major concussion issues with the Bucks this year. Certainly, I've been pretty fortunate with UVM over the last couple of years. We haven't had any major, head trauma issues. So, yes, I think what parents don't understand is that all high school coaches now are required to take specific courses in coaching, proper ways to tackle, proper ways to protect your head and neck. And, you know, those types of things don't seem to get any publicity. You just hear, them talk about CTE, traumatic brain injuries gets a lot of press, but you know, the efforts to help mitigate those types of injuries, they don't get any press.
And Alex can probably attest to this. I mean, you still go to a high school football game and they're packed. I mean, football is still hot in the state of Vermont in terms of fan base. Just we're losing the players. I mean, for me to think, and Coach, you can probably speak on this as well, to think that South Burlington and Burlington had to join forces to put a football team on the field is just insane to me when you look at the size of those schools.
Well, it's that.
And I get that. I'm not talking about I'm upset because of the competitive balance and all that, mm-hmm. but just to me, those two schools, I mean, they don't have enough football players to put it. That just says a lot about that there's just not a lot of kids playing.
And that's the correct observation. There just aren't enough young men and women out there who want to play the game. And so you're seeing not only South Burlington, but, you know, in some of the lower divisions,
MSJ
and Pulteney combined, you know, we have the combined Vergennes and Mount Abe programs. You know, one suggestion for those, programs who can't field a team, you know, Winooski closed their program down, a few years ago, would be to go to 8-man football versus 11-man football. Certainly you're limited on the field as to what you can do, but it's a viable alternative for some of the smaller programs that are really struggling right now.
So, Austin and I wrote about this topic last fall.
Yeah, I remember.
So we did a few stories and we touched upon some of the reasons
why. You're talking about Batman and Robin, right?
Yeah.
Make sure we're
so right. the concussion thing certainly is right atop of the list in terms of the fear factor and stuff like that. But also, like, school enrollment has gone down a lot in Vermont. True. And I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I feel like it's in the last 10, 15 years, it's like 20% across the board. So that's going to affect football teams because you need numbers in football. You really can't feel 20. Like 20 is like even, that's a right. low end. Like you saw MSJ do it. Yeah. They were doing like 13 to 15. Winooski was doing, you know, they were lucky if they had 13 players, 12 players. Mm-hmm. And you can't do that over the course of a season. You could do it, get by for a week or two, but injuries are going to mount up or anything. You know, injuries, suspensions for academics, anything like that will hit your program over the course of a season. And you look, MSJ is not going to have a football team.
It's so sad.
They're done.
And if you know the history of MSJ, one of the proudest football programs in the state of Vermont, mm-hmm. perennial state champion.
They have the most titles in D1 history. Yeah, maybe across all divisions.
Unbelievable. But. It's really sad to see what's happening on there. This is a conversation I want to have you back on if we can sometime to talk about, because I think it's important. Especially when we get closer to fall, I might invite you back. We have a couple minutes left here. What's happening? What can fans look forward to? And what should they be looking forward to when it comes to the Bucks?
So I think it's great if fans could continue to follow us on social media. That's where we keep and update everything that's going on. And hopefully we'll have an announcement soon as to where we'll be next year. And this summer we'll be out there going to some events, look for our players out there in their Buck Orange. And we really need the support from local businesses as well as the fans to keep us going.
And will there be another, do you have the team set for next year? Will there be tryouts? Or
we will hold tryouts as well next year.
Well, listen, if you need a guy that, you know, I'll be like the third string quarterback as long as I don't have to get on the field.
Wait, you can kick extra points.
No, I can't even do that.
You're a soccer coach.
I know, but you don't want me to do that. I just trust me. You don't want to see me do that. But I think that's the best job ever, right? There's two great jobs, like, professionally. Number one is the bullpen catcher. That's got to be a great job. And, like, the third string quarterback. You know what I mean? You got the red jersey on. You know, you get to pretend you're like some... Coach, I'm your guy if you need that job, okay? Yeah. All right, guys, thanks so much. Joanna Morse, the owner, and head coach Jeff Porter. Thanks for joining us today, guys. We'll talk to you again down the road.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. When we come back, it's Hot or Not time. Go Bucks, go!
You better crank up that AC because Sports Saturday is about to bring the heat. It's Hot or Not on 101.3 The Game.
Normally, this is Hot or Not time, but we got a caller on the line. The great Kurt Wright, the host of The Drive, you can hear on our sister station, WVMT, every morning. I think it's at 6 a.m. to 9, right? Something like that. And normally, when I get to it, it's like 7:30. That 6 a.m. stuff is rough. But Kurt Wright's joining us live from Yankee Stadium. Kurt, what's happening, buddy?
Good morning, Jeff. I'm actually on my way back from Yankee Stadium. I was there last night.
Now, last night was a 4-1 victory. A couple of big home runs by Sanchez and Torres. I mean, it must have been perfect. And I believe you were a guest of our boy David Cone. Is that correct?
That's right. David Cone got me and my friend and his two Little League Sons tickets, and they actually had us in the broadcast booth.
Wow.
David Cone and Paul O'Neill, along with Susan Waldman, John Sterling, Meredith Marakovic. So it was a really, really cool trip.
Now, was David Cone and Meredith Marakovic and Paul O'Neill and everybody in the booth, were they more impressed with meeting you, or were you more impressed with meeting them? That's the question.
I don't think they were impressed with meeting me, but I was in awe of meeting Paul O'Neill, and I kind of walked into the Yankee broadcast booth where they were bringing me in, and there he was sitting there eating, and I interrupted him, but they were really gracious. They took pictures with us.
Oh, too cool.
Showed us around, and we were right in the Yankee broadcast booth, and it was really fun. And then the game itself was a beautiful night, and Aaron Judge's first game back. And as you said, Jeff, we saw two home runs, Sanchez and Gleyber Torres. We saw a little bit of everything. Oh, and you know what else? My friend was just reminding me, because we're in the car on the way back right now. We took a little video of John Sterling doing one of his famous home run calls.
Oh, no kidding. Wow, what an experience. That's great stuff. I suppose you're going to share all this stuff on your radio show this week, I'm hoping.
I will, but I'm giving it to you first.
Well, I appreciate us getting the breaking news. And Alex Abrami's with me here today, Kurt, so he's appreciated as well. Because, listen, this is Yankee fan villain here. I finally got someone to work with me that's a Yankee fan. I love this. Usually it's just when you do it with
all
me.
All right, I like it, yeah.
Exactly, exactly. Great. So I guess the last question I have before I let you go, because we got this hot or not segment coming up here, but did you ask John Sterling what he'd say if you hit a home run at Yankee Stadium?
No, but I got him to do, like I said, I got him to do the Downtown Goes Frazier call.
How about Kurt got it right? How about that one? Kurt got it right. Two-run homer for the Yankees. I think that would work really well.
The right stuff.
The right stuff. Exactly.
I like it. You just made up a home run call for me, Jeff.
We also just gave you two podcast names if you ever want to do that.
There. Exactly. That's exactly right. Kurt, man, thanks so much for calling in. Have a safe trip back, and we'll talk to you when you get home, man. I'm glad you had that experience.
I'll be listening to what's hot and what's not.
All right. sounds good. Stay tuned. Here it comes.
Guys.
Thanks, buddy. Pretty cool. So the story behind this is David Cone wrote a book with Jack Curry. He had David Cone on his show and reached back out to David Cone to thank him for coming on his show on WVMT to talk about the book. And David Cone said, keep my number, you know, and if I come down, you know, look me up. And he got him tickets and gave him a little tour. Pretty neat. I mean, it says a lot about David Cone, a guy I interviewed on the radio. You know, and I'm a little bit jealous. You know, I mean, I know Kurt Wright pretty well. He knows I'm a big Yankee fan.
I'm jealous too.
Could have invited me, but no, he decides to take a bunch of children with him. What kind of person are you anyway, Kurt Wright? Just kidding. All right. Kick the Hot or Not music. It's time to do Hot or Not. Let's go.
Yeah, this is Hot or Not, brought to you by Superb Cupcakes in Williston. Stop by Superb Cupcakes in the Taft's Corner Shopping Center in Williston for the best cupcakes around. They will not disappoint, offering over 100 flavors of regular and mini cupcakes are made from scratch daily.
Have you had a Superb Cupcake yet in Williston?
No, I
haven't. Okay, so this is what you're going to do. You're going to get out of here today. You're going to get in the car. Go buy a case of cupcakes, like a dozen cupcakes for the family. You're going to be super dad this weekend, I'm telling you right now. The best cupcakes around, Alex Abrami. Go check them out.
And make your day superb.
Well played.
The Tampa Bay Rays will be in Montreal permanently within the next 5 years.
Not. I think they're going to still be in Tampa. I think Tampa's going to build them a stadium, and I think they're going to be the Tampa Rays for a long time. And if they build in the right place, they're going to put a lot of people in there every game.
I'm going hot. The only reason why this is happening is because they're moving to Montreal.
You think so?
Yeah. Why even bring Montreal into the mix?
Well, I think to get some leverage in Tampa, but man, that would be something.
That's true.
Oh, just bring it back to Montreal. Bring baseball back so I can drive an hour to watch a baseball game.
Oh, you're funny.
Oh, man, I'm excited. Kawhi will join LeBron and AD in L.A.
I'll go first on this. Not, you'd be out of your mind, Kawhi Leonard, to do that. Yeah, it might be good for a year, maybe 2 years, but after that, what are you going to be? You're going to be a really good player on a really terrible franchise with no draft picks, no talent coming in. It's going to be a barren wasteland with the Lakers, and that has to do with LeBron James and the decisions that the front office is making. I'm telling you, stay away, Kawhi.
I'm going to go not as well. Kawhi is a different cat.
He is.
I don't see him joining a super team, so to speak. I think he's doing it himself, his own way. If he leaves Toronto, it's the Clippers.
No, that'd be something, man.
But
now,
I think
that
he
would
stays.
Be something.
I think he stays in Toronto.
Why would you not? They're offering you homes and houses and boats and planes, and you take whatever you want. You're never gonna pick. You're never gonna buy. That cat's not gonna buy one more meal if he stays in Toronto the rest of his life. Think about that.
And just not only you got there, but just like he's always wanted. Now that he's in Canada, the U.S. media has kind of left him alone.
It's true.
It's a dream spot.
It's true.
The Yankees are the best team in baseball following the addition of Edwin Encarnacion.
I'm going to say hot. I think right now with what I see in the rest of baseball, I think they are the best team in baseball. I know people will say, well, what about the Dodgers? You're never going to tell me that a National League West team is better than anybody in the American League. I don't care what you're going to tell me. I think the Red Sox are playing better baseball and they're going to be formidable down the stretch. I think you know what Houston is when they're healthy. Minnesota's been a nice story. But I think when you look at this team top to bottom and the bullpen this team boasts, I think the Yankees right now on paper are the best team in baseball.
I'm going to say hot, and not even on paper. They're playing like the right. best team in baseball. Look at that lineup.
It's unbelievable.
They welcomed back Aaron Judge last night.
It's unbelievable.
That lineup. And they had to send down Frazier.
Yeah.
Like they're a pretty potent offense. Maybe we get into later about like, you know, what they need or anything, but like they're looking really good. It's just the starting pitching. Do they have an ace?
And I think that's why they got Encarnacion, because really the only guy out there that potentially could bring in that's an ace is Max Scherzer. That's going to take a lot to pry him out of Washington. They're playing better baseball now. I mean, they're fun to watch. And that lineup, think about Gleyber Torres, who's probably going to be the All-Star Game shortstop or second baseman, is going to be hitting ninth potentially in that lineup.
Yeah. And he's on pace for 38 home runs.
Yeah, we likey.
This is courtesy of Dennis Rodman, who I think was on The Jump. Is that what you said?
No, it was on First Take with Stephen A. Smith and Max.
He says the 72-win Bulls would beat the 73-win Warriors.
You want to go first on that one?
The Bulls would win?
The 72, yeah.
Yes, yeah. Hot. Yeah, the Bulls would win that game.
Yeah, hot. This is no question. Yeah.
You're talking about MJ.
Hey, you're talking about Michael and Scotty and Dennis. I mean, come on. And Ron Harper.
And the Warriors didn't win in the end, right?
Yeah, they didn't even end up winning.
Team
exactly.
Didn't win.
Well, I think the question wasn't whether it was a 73-win team or a 72-win team, or whether it was the Golden State Warriors at their pinnacle and the Chicago Bulls at their pinnacle.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, please. No great team from the 90s would lose any of these teams nowadays. I'm just telling
and
you.
And wasn't just any great team. It was Michael Jordan and then all of the defensive all-stars. Like, except for maybe not at center, but
well, and Scotty was a big time scorer.
He was. And he was also one of the best defensive small forwards, not just of that era, but of all time. Just
Very
a
true.
Lockdown defender. Then you got Ron Harper, who that was his game, was just infuriating opposing guards. And then Dennis Rodman, one of the greatest defensive players ever.
And Michael was one of the greatest defensive players ever.
He sure was.
Yeah, they were unbelievable.
Those Warriors aren't shooting on that
Plus,
team.
Steve Kerr would be playing for the Bulls, so he wouldn't be coaching.
Oh, that's a good point as well.
Andre Iguodala would have to go back to doing it?
Yeah.
All right, moving on. The emotion that Louisville pitcher Luke Smith showed is good for baseball.
Did you see this?
No.
So the kid from Louisville strikes out a kid from Vanderbilt. You got to look it up. And they put the camera right on him. And I got to tell you guys, the language was brutal on this. Like, I mean, he was, you know,
a couple of bleep
yous. Beep, 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 beep. So it was pretty ugly. So pretty passionate. And there's been people that are for it and against it. But, I don't have any problem with passion. I think you got to be a little more classy than that. And throwing F-bombs out all over the place is not working, especially for kids. I mean, come on. You got to be a little better than that. But emotion's good. And I think what's even better is Vanderbilt beat them the next inning. So good for Vanderbilt.
Whatever you said, because I haven't seen the video.
Yeah, you got to see the video.
He struck someone out, and then on his way off the mound, two bleep yous came out.
The passion, the emotion is good.
Yeah. It was how he did. I mean, it was like
pointing and face red.
Yeah, I mean, pretty crazy.
That's probably a little too much.
A little over the top.
Yeah.
And it came from a guy with some of the thickest glasses I've ever seen in my life.
I do appreciate that. I have no problem with that.
It looked like a guy working at like an accounting job was just going off.
It was like Kurt Rambis when he was like 18 years old. It was a little bit like Wild Thing. Good call.
The NBA should allow kids to come straight from high school. This is courtesy of our friend Arnie Spanier.
Oh, our boy Arnie, who, by the way, was leading the show off before the game on the. I just can't get over. I'm so proud of Arnie. Like, honestly, I don't think we talk enough about how special Arnie Spanier is. And like this morning, if you didn't hear it, He was hosting the fellas before our show, which is a national syndicated show. It's a big deal. So let them come in. I don't know. I'm so torn on this. I'm going to say not because I think it's important for the NBA. I think it's good, important for development more than anything else to me. I think they should stay longer. I think kids like, I look at these Duke kids that came out, Reddish and even RJ Barrett. I mean, you don't think he'd benefit from one more year in college basketball? So I think they should have to stay at least a couple years. I think it makes the brand in the NBA a lot better.
I'll go against that. I think... Let them play. It's America. If you want to play,
it's true.
Go play. I love college basketball, but college basketball will sustain without. I mean,
agreed.
What's the difference between having, you know, the one and done versus just not even being there?
Good point. It's a hell of a good point. And I would say that it's more on the NBA to make the decision, right? Yeah. I mean, Sean Kemp came right out, and Sean Kemp was one of the best players ever to play the game.
Kobe
came out. So yeah, I agree. Maybe I'm changing my mind. I'm with Alex Abrami. I'm changing my mind.
Well, I do disagree with you too, because I think the guys at the very top, that's okay. But people forget that if you're not LeBron or Michael or Sean Kemp, who is an incredible athlete, it's half skill, half athleticism, so you get a lot of half-finished players.
Then let me say this, how about that there's a rule that they have the opportunity like college kids do. They can go test the process, get an idea where they think they're going to fall, and then make that decision. I think that would be fair for them.
That's fair.
I think that's the best way, because obviously, but I think it's up to the NBA to make the right decision, so you're not bringing in guys like... who's the guy that drafted by the Wizards when Michael Jordan played for the Wizards?
I was just going to say Kwame Brown.
Kwame Brown, the perfect example of that, right?
Well, that's more on Jordan not being a very good GM.
Don't talk bad about my boy, Michael. Don't ever do it here.
All right, we got time for number 7?
Real quick, go ahead.
The Giants created drama around Odell Beckham and not the other way around.
Oh, please spare me this garbage. Not. Odell Beckham is the drama. It's not the Giants' fault. And thank God we finally have an adult in the front office in Dave Gettleman. That's changing the dynamics with the Giants.
That's a knot. If the Giants are in the wrong for anything, it's letting it continue for as long as it did and not reeling him in sooner.
Exactly.
That's hot or not.
All right, that's hot or not. Real quick before we go to break, Glenn from Moncton. Sorry, guys. The best team was the 86 Celtics. I can't argue that. I cannot argue that at all.
They were pretty great.
That's a great basketball team, that 86
Celtics. That was, but it's... I'll go with Michael Jordan.
Yeah, I'm still
thinking. I don't know. That 86 team, and I love Michael, and I love the team, but that 86 team, I actually have, this is an off-the-cuff story, my parents in their house I have Rick Carlisle's practice jersey signed by every one of those players, Larry Bird, McHale, Ainge, Sam, I can go through the whole thing. That was some team. So I don't know. I think that would be more an intriguing matchup. The 86 Celtics and the 98 Bulls. That would be some matchup.
We got it in the 80s with the Lakers and the Celtics.
That's true.
That six-year run.
That's true. That was a lot of fun. That was true. But the thing about some of the greatest teams, if you could ever find a way to have them play each other, the 86 Celtics and the 98 Bulls would be. If it was a 98, they
no 96.
The 96 Bulls. The 96 Bulls. That would be something. That'd be a lot of fun to watch. Bird in his prime and Michael in his prime.
Oh,
come on. That'd be a lot of fun.
Oh yeah.
All right. Take a quick break. When we come back, we tie a bow on the show. Don't go anywhere.
I hate to say it, but the show is almost over. But before we go, we'll get the Brass Monkeys bumping and get you ready for your sports weekend. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game.
Alex Abrami, thank you so much for helping out today, man.
Thank you for having me.
So it's going to take me another 4 years to get you here?
I'll be back sooner.
I mean, I hope that's the case. I hope you did a great job today. I want to do special thanks to Mark Berman, New York Knicks insider for the Post. Pretty good insight. And if you're a Knicks fan, I don't think he painted a great picture for you. But hey.
He was fair.
He was definitely fair. Good point. And we had the Vermont Bucks owner, Joanna Morse, and their head coach, Jeff Porter. Interesting story, the Bucks. You know, I mean, you know, we each got to have them on again, but I mean... It's an organization that was built from like you snap your fingers and we had a pro football team here. They had games, schedules, they were winning championships, and all of a sudden they were gone, but now trying to find it again. And I hope they find a facility because, you know, listen, it's just something else to do in this great state. You know, it was family friendly. I used to love going to the games. It was a good thing to be a part of. I hope they come back.
It's hard. You see it across the country with these professional teams.
It's true.
Don't last very long.
And Jeff Porter had some great points about, you know, football in today's day and age. You know, kids are just, you know, they're not playing. The numbers are down. You and Austin wrote those beautiful articles about in the Free Press. I mean, it really is too bad. A wonderful game like football, one that I think the country loves, right? I mean, the country loves football, but we're having trouble finding kids to play the sport, especially in high school.
They just need to make changes.
And you wonder what's going to happen in the future with it if it stays like this. I mean, you know, the NFL dominates the country right now. I mean, will it be the same in 35, 40 years? a good question.
That's a great question.
How about me patting myself on the back? That's a good question, Jeff. Good job. No one else is going to do it, I can tell you that.
I got to urge everyone listening to go to those games next season because they are electric. I went to a game a couple of years ago, and the energy is excellent.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, again, it's pro football in the state. It's really cool stuff. Hey, Green City Garage question, our Green City Garage fan poll question was, do you like the potential idea to have the Tampa Bay Rays split their time playing their home games between Tampa, St. Pete, and Montreal? I said yes because I just want to see the Yankees there a couple times a year.
Yep.
You said no.
Yep.
And what did the community say?
Well, 58% are with you, Jeff, and nice. For probably the same reason. A lot of people want to go see the Red Sox.
The Red Sox and the Yankees. It's cheap and it's quick, man. You don't have to go through all the... You go to a Yankee or Red Sox game, it costs you a week's salary just to park the car. Then you want to go to the game. You want to have a couple hot dogs, maybe a cold beer or a soda or something. That's another $55.
You know what my favorite thing is when I go to a Yankee Stadium? Eggplant sandwiches.
I haven't had one of those yet.
Yeah.
I have to say this. I love Yankee. Everyone knows we love the Yankees, but their food at Yankee Stadium isn't that good.
No, you bring in the food. Bring in your own food.
You can't bring your own food in.
Yeah, you can.
You can?
You just can't bring in beer or whatever.
Glad. You can bring food in. I could bring a bag of food in. I could bring sandwiches in and stuff.
Yeah.
That's new news to me. Maybe because you're Alex Abrami and you're a big deal. They see me walking into the sandwich. They're going to push me down because that's how they make their money.
No, they can't deny you to bring in food.
Well, that's interesting. I think the alcohol is where they make a lot of that money.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. That's a very good point. Hey guys, keep the station here, right here, 101.3 The Game today. The Red Sox in Toronto coverage starts at 3:05, and on our sister station WVMT, it's the Yankees in Houston. How about our Yankees going for 8 straight wins, going for the series win against the Houston Astros, who are really right now they're banged up. You got to admit that's like a shell of their team. But coverage starts on WVMT at 6:35. The Yanks in Houston. Thanks so much for listening. We are here every week. Have a good week, guys. Talk to you next week.